Okay, so we are going to learn one gatha. That gatha is over here in the diagram by giving merit prose. So I will use a sort of a bigger font version of that one. The gatha is called Dadatu Punyam Pavaddati. That by giving merit prose, no risk is stored for one restrained. Who he is killed abandons evil things. With the exhaustion of lust, hate and delusion, he attains complete extinction. So what it means by here, this gatha appear in Mahaparinibbana Sutta. And there's a description is available in the Pitakopadesa, Pitaka discourse. For one who gives, the ground for making merit consisting in giving is stated. No risk is stored for one restrained. The ground for making merit consisting in virtue is stated. One who is killed, abandon evil, he states the abandoning of greed and delusion and ill will. With the exhaustion of lust, hate, delusion, he attains complete extinction. He states the driving out of will and lust for greed, for delusion and for ill will. And this one is further explained. Merit will grow for one who gives, is the profitable root of non-greed. That is right, isn't it? If you want to donate a shirt or something, then whatever the attachment you have for that particular money has to be given up. So that is the root of non-greed. No risk is stored for unrestrained. And it is the profitable direction, profitable root of non-hate. You see, if you are not restraining, you look at someone and this person is beautiful, and it doesn't take another millisecond for you to find a pimple or something in that person's face. So then that is the second round, and then you spin 8 rounds. Then you get the sloth and toba, and then you get the hate. But if you are controlling your faculties, you are restraining, then you are not spinning. No sloth and toba, no hate. So the root of non-hate. One who is killed abandons evil. It is the profitable root, non-delusion. With the exhaustion of greed, hate, delusion, he attains complete extinction. He eludes the fruit of the path of arahantship and the extinction element without trace left. The extinction element without trace left means Buddha has attained final Nibbana, and there is nothing. You know that Buddha, the complete Nibbana is there. The Nibbana is to be found within. It is the cessation of all the cravings you have. And again, it's explained further, merit will grow for one who gives. By his giving freedom from fear to breathe in things, the abstention from killing, breathe in things, gives freedom from fear to creatures. In other words, a cow is to be slaughtered. Then you pay the money to the butcher and then, you know, free the cow. So what you are actually giving? Freedom from fear to that breathing thing. And in the same way, all the training possessed can be cited. In other words, if you are refraining from killing, then all the other precepts has to be cited. No risk is stored for one restrained. He restrained cognizance by establishing it in virtue. When he is restraining, his virtue come to fulfillment. In other words, when you are controlling your faculties, your virtue become, you know, it become fulfilled. It's come to the fulfillment. So this is what is mentioned in the gatha. So let us go back to this diagram. We have marked that gatha in the diagram, the by giving merit prose. and no risk is stored for one rest day. And then he who is skilled abandons evil things, and with the exhaustion of lust, hate and delusion, he attains complete extinction. So by giving merit rows, what sort of things the meritorious deeds that you are actually doing, you are giving, you know, you are offering flowers to the Buddha, incense sticks and so on. So young people, they are looking at it and they are asking, what are you actually doing? You know, you are offering milk, rice and so on to the Buddha. So you are offering something to a statue. Although they say that one has also got a merit in it, because that, you know, what you are actually doing, because the Bodhisattva was suffering for a long time because of us. He want to get us, you know, out of the suffering. So he sacrificed his time, effort and all those things. So now you are paying gratitude for that. Buddha did not ask you to do that one, offer flowers and so on. But then you are actually paying the gratitude. So you can see that if you are paying the gratitude, then the derogation is gone. Derogation is taking qualities away. Now you are actually, you know, you have the gratitude. It is the opposite of that one. So then there is this merit in that one. And then you are offering food to the Buddhist monks, and then give food to poor people and, you know, creatures and so on, to a charity work. So there is merit in that one. And there is another merit. It says sapadanam dhammadanam jinati. That means, you know, this highest one of these things is that giving dhamma to people. And then there is another one that you are giving freedom from the fear to the living creatures. You know, a cow is to be slaughtered, and then you rescue the cow. So let us start from that particular point. Let us say that you have a chicken in your garden. And then you can do two things to that chicken. One is you can actually kill the chicken and eat the flesh of the chicken. Or else you can, you know, not doing that one, not kill, refrain from killing. So if you are killing the animal, then you did the, you know, killing part. So the violation of the first precept. And not only that one, that chicken never told you, please sir, have my meat. So you are taking something what is not given. Stealing. So not only that, that whatever lifespan that chicken inherited from the birth, you are taking it away as well. So now you can see it is all connected. When you are doing the killing, then you are stealing as well as you are taking the lifespan. So let's look at the other way around. You are not killing. So you let the chicken live. So you are refraining from killing. And then on the other hand, whatever meat that it inherited, flesh inherited from the birth, you let the chicken consume it. So you are refraining from stealing as well. Not only that, whatever lifespan it inherited from the birth, you let the chicken have it. So now you can see by refrain from killing, you are refrain from stealing and refrain from taking the lifespan as well. That is what it said that, you know, when it is cited that refrain from killing, all the other precepts has to be cited as well. So meditation in this one is very easy, that you need to enter this particular box over here. To enter that one, then you can see there is this gladness Gladness is the condition for entering this by giving merit rows. The cause is that lack of greed, you know, not having the greed is the cause. So, you know, when you do charity work, that day you are really happy. So, gladness has the ability to produce high gladness as well. So, you sort of give monk food, and then you come back home, you are happy, then a creature is coming, then you feel like feeding the creature as well. So then, so the gladness let you come inside this one. So to enter this one, what you need to do, you recall to your mind whatever meritorious deeds that you have done, that you have constructed temples, have given alms food to the Buddhist monks, done some charity work, and you know, you sort of might have rescued an animal from the death. Some people are actually recalling, you know, some people, you know, save ants from dying in the water, from the drowning. So whatever meritorious deeds that you have done, you need to recall. Then you are entering this particular box. Now you are trying to go into this no risk is stored for unrested. For that one, there is a condition and the cause. The condition is the determination for relinquishment, chaga dittan. What it means is that this is where the rapture is coming up in your head, that that day I save that cow by, you know, spending $1,000. So I am a person who can give up $1,000. Those divine beings in the divine world, that they are born because of their generosity. I also have such quality that I gave up $1,000. I can also give up. That day I constructed a temple by spending $6,000. So I am a person who can give up $6,000. So when you recall to your mind your ability to give up, then the rapture flows from your head. You become so happy. So you can come into this no risk is stored for one rested. And the cause is wise attention. The wise attention is that you contemplate the impermanent, subject to suffering, and not self. Did you do the meditation about the impermanency? That was the first meditation you did the first day, yesterday, first meditation. There's arising and passing away phenomena using the concentration discourse. That is the permanent impermanency. So we have done that. And then also we look at this suffering part, birth, age, sickness and death yesterday and today as well. So then you understand this the sadness is included in the suffering. So if I'm not restraining, what will happen if I look at someone, I say this person is so beautiful. And the next millisecond you find a fault in that person's face, you know, pimple or something, then you get this sadness. Why? Because you look. If you did not look, you don't get that. So if you are restraining, then you can see this things like sadness will not come to arise. So having understood sadness is included in the suffering, you restrain. When you come over here, then your virtue is going to be fulfilled. Why? Let's take example. Let us say there is a poor person and he has got a chicken, but he hasn't got many things to eat. Maybe he's taking a fruit out of a tree and eat and live. And then having heard Dhamma, then he decided, I'm not going to kill. So what he actually gave up, the, you know, the chicken has got about 2 kilograms, isn't it, of flesh. So whatever desire and attachment for that one you have given up, that is for 2 kilos. And then let us say that this person is hungry. Next day he hasn't got anything to eat. And then if the chicken is going in front of him, making a noise, then he might change his decision. But if you are restraining, then you are not actually going to look at whether chicken exists or not. You are not going to look at. So therefore you don't get the thought that I will kill this animal and eat the flesh. So this virtue come to fulfill over here. Now from here, we are going to go into this, that who he is killed, abandoned evil things. For that one, you can see that the condition is written over here. Seeing how things are really as it is. Yatha bhuta dassanam paccheva. For that one, you need to use determination for wisdom. And Buddha explained this one in Dhatu Vibhanga Sutta, the element discourse. Buddha said there are these 6 elements. Element of extension, element of cohesion, element of motion, and the element of heat. And the space is infinite, consciousness is infinite. And then Buddha said this element of extension is internal as well as external. And there is no difference between the two, whether it is internal or external, it is the same. So then, what is the element of extension? That is internal. You see, in our body, we have this hair of the body, nails, teeth, skin, flesh, sinew, bones, bone marrow, kidney, heart, liver, pleura, spleen, and lungs, intestine, mesentery, and then content of the stomach and excrement. And that is the element of extension, that is internal. And if you add the brain to this one, then it becomes 20. And so the excrement is the element of extension. So outside in your garden, there is this excrement. Maybe a creature has done its job, or human being has done that job. So that is the element of extension, whatever the hard in the body. So these are the hard parts you are talking about. So this the excrement outside in your garden. Do you regard that excrement as mine? Now that is the excrement. That is the element of extension. So it is not mine. And then whether it is internal or external, it is the same. So now you say the excrement outside, that is in the garden, it is the element of extension and it is not mine. In the same way, excrement inside your body, also the element of extension, and it is not mine. So your mind is not fighting with you in that instance, because the excrement you put to the commode and then flush it out. Now you say that the excrement outside is the element of extension and it is not mine. The excrement inside also element of extension, it is not mine. In the same way, the hair of the body, nails, teeth, all those things are also element of extension and they are not mine. You cleanse your mind from the element of extension in the whole universe. Now, when you talk about the hair, your mind sort of maybe making a bit of a fuss over there. Because here you in the morning you treat it, comb it and so on, giving a value to it. So in that case, what you need to do, you need to teach like teaching a small child. You know, the hair on the floor, do you regard that one as mine? No, it is not mine. So that is the element of extension. So then the hair in your body, also the element of extension. No difference, it is the same. So you teach teaching like a small child. So from the whole universe, whatever the hard thing, you disregard as it is mine. So it is not mine. So then you cleanse your mind in that way. And then Buddha is saying the element of cohesion. Remember intermolecular attraction force we discussed yesterday. So in our body there is this liquid things like bile, phlegm, plus blood, sweat, fat, tears, tallow, saliva, snot, synovial fluid, urine. So there are 12 parts over here. So this one has got the element of cohesion, that is internal. Now in your urine is an element of cohesion. So in your garden someone has urinated, so that is the element of cohesion. Do you regard that urine as yours? No. So you are saying that urine outside in the garden, it is not mine. So the urine inside, also the element of cohesion. So it's the same. If the outside one is not yours, then the inside one is not yours. So in the same way, so you are saying this, the blood, sweat and all those things, whatever the liquid parts in your body, they are not mine. Now your mind might get upset again because you are saying this blood is not mine as well. You know, when we get some sort of a injury, then you are actually protecting with this sort of a plaster and so on. And then now you are saying this blood is also not yours. So if it is getting upset, then you need to teach again. You know, outside, then let's say on the floor, there is blood. Do you regard that one as mine? No. So you are saying this blood outside is the element of cohesion and it is not mine. So the blood inside is also element of cohesion. No difference between the two, whether it's internal or external. So yeah, now you cleanse your mind from the element of cohesion in the entire universe. That although you take these things out, you might think that blood, sweat, fat, tears, these are bad ones. Anyway, they are not mine. But this waterfall, you know, this beautiful waterfall, you might think, oh, this one is mine. So in that case, what you need to think, you think that urine is the one actually flowing in that. So then you don't take this one as mine. So you cleanse your mind from the element of cohesion in the entire universe. And then the Buddha is saying that there is this element of motion. So what is the element of motion? That is internal in your body. There is this air in your stomach. And it is going upward, it's going from the backside. So that is the element of motion. The air that is coming out of from the bottom of your body, are you taking that one as mine? So you say that is the element of motion. Internal, it is not mine. In the same way, whatever the motion in the air, you know, outside, element of motion, it is not mine. So you cleanse your mind from the element of motion in the entire universe. Again, you might get a sort of a, you know, mind is becoming sort of upset about it. Why? Because you are saying inhaling, exhaling is also not mine. So if it happens, train it again, like teaching a small child. And then there is this element of heat that is internal and the external. So the element of heat internal is in your body, there is this heat. Warmth is all those things are there. And your food get digested. And then the aging that you have also due to this element of heat. So in your house, there is a dustbin in the kitchen area. And then after 2 days or so, it has got a polythene bag. So then you touch it outside. Then you can see there is a heat in it. Do you take that heat in this, your dustbin as mine? No, so because of the bacteria and so on. So then in the same way, don't take the element of heat in this dustbin bag as well. This is also sort of a bin, you know, because of the bacteria and so on, there is this heat. So you cleanse your mind from the element of heat in the entire universe. So now when you do that one, is there anything left in your body? There's nothing, isn't it? So Buddha said, when you do that one, your mind become pure and right. So you can see our mind become undefiled and sort of impure because we take regard these things as mine. So at that particular time, you are in this particular box. He who is skilled abandons evil things. Now you are a skillful person. We use this gatha for two things. One thing is that we use that one for something called sabbasankhara is anicca sanya. In other words, it's the contemplation of impermanence in all formations. Here it says, bhikkhu, the monk is troubled. The Pali word is attiyati, troubled. Harayati is ashamed of. And jiguchati, that means he is disgusted or he loathes. The old formations, whatever the volitional formations, and he is sort of the troubled and humiliated and disgusted about these things. So, and how you get this trouble? You see, if you are not restraining, what will happen? Then you look at someone and then you say, this person is so beautiful. And then next millisecond, second round, you see a pimple or something, some sort of defects in that person's body. And then you get the sadness because you have seen people without pimples before. And then you go for another, you know, go for another six rounds, that is totally eight rounds. Then you become sick. Your mind has got the sloth and torpor because you are sort of, you keep on spinning, thinking that hair is beautiful, but you don't want this pimple part. But you think it will go away, it doesn't go away. So then you get the sickness of the mind and the sickness of the mental state. So, but if you are restraining, you see you are not going to look. So there is no the beautiful person or something you are not going to look at. So then you are not spinning this another round and not spinning eight rounds. So then you are not going to sick. Going to be sick. So now you can see that we have marked this one. It's the painful way with the quick realization and the pleasant way with slow realization. There are two paths over here. They are actually against, you know, this morning we were discussing the contact as nutriment, mental volition as nutriment. Those Dhamma parts you are learning tomorrow. They are against these paths. Now you can see sickness has been marked in between. So this is the place that we have marked that if you are restraining, then you can get rid of this hate part. So in other words, the sickness is gone. So if you have a sickness, then you are getting trouble, isn't it? So now no trouble over there. And then next one is this. A monk is humiliated, ashamed of. What are we actually ashamed of? If you are lying, you are sort of ashamed of. Sometimes, you know, without knowing, you say some sort of a lie to a person, and then your hand is also coming to your mouth, oh, I told him a wrong thing. So you are ashamed of lying. But are we actually lying? How do we lie? If I say this leg is mine, and it is lying. Remember, I told you that even the motorbike person is actually showing you it is not yours. That person is coming and hitting your leg, and then you have to amputate that one. So doctor, when he amputate, you don't take the leg home. So, but are we actually saying this leg is mine? No, in the determination for wisdom, we said excrement outside is not mine. Excrement inside. Also the element of extension, if the outside one is not mine, the inside one is not mine. So you cleanse your mind from the element of extension, element of cohesion, element of motion, and the element of heat. So you are not regarding this leg as mine, the baby as mine, the house as mine. So therefore I am not lying. So only if you are lying that you know, lying, harsh speech and so on, then you have to be ashamed of or humiliated. So since you are not doing, you don't have to have that. And then the next one is this jiguchati. That means you are disgusted or you are loathes it. So how do we get this line? Remember yesterday we learned that for the perception of beauty, you add the permanency, then you get the perception of pleasure. So this line is constructed by adding those two, like the perception of beauty and perception of permanency. You know, it's like, you know, eating a mango, rotten mango, you cut down the rotten part and you are saying it's pleasurable. What is Buddha is saying? What is there in the world is suffering. While the Buddha is saying suffering, we are saying it's pleasurable, so it's a lie. So that one is actually stemming from these things like perception of beauty and the permanency. So, and sukha, the perception of pleasure. So you are actually giving up over here. See that we have drawn this diagram and touching the determination for relinquishment. And that is important. You know, Sampati Mahabrahma asked me to draw this one. Then I made it like a box over here. And then he said, no, you need to draw it in such a way that it touches the determination for relinquishment. That means it is always removing, you know, giving up something, donating. So what are you actually giving up? This perception of beauty and the perception of pleasure that lead to the line. So that will complete the contemplation of impermanence in all formations. And you won't be giving up anything unless you see the peril of things. You see, person who is coming over here is a very skillful person. Some people will see, you know, black space at this particular time. Some people will have a light. That is the sixth jhana. You know, your faculties over here. Your right side is the faculty of wisdom. And the left side of the forehead, faculty of mindfulness, they become illuminated. And then you see light. That is your light. So that is the sixth jhana. And there is no limit over here actually at that particular point. When we actually discussed this one in one place in Sri Lanka, and one person came to me and said that when he was doing that part of the meditation, then he felt this sort of ticklish thing over here in the chin area. Then I asked, what did you do? He couldn't remember. He went and then 5 minutes after he came back and told me, I remember. By that time, what I was actually doing, I remove the, you know, the elements in the mind-made body. You see, when you are saying this agreement, outside is not mine, inside one is not mine. And when you are cleansing your mind from those four great elements, then he went to the mind-made body and then he see the light. And then he was actually analyzing, how do I see the light? I'm seeing the light from the mind-made body. So then he was applying the same phenomena. So let me get rid of the elements in the mind-made body as well. Then what he got is the liberation due to the appreciative joy. That's why this is called mudita. Cheto vibhakti. So he had the liberation over there. When you come over here, let us say you are in the space is infinite level. And the spaces infinite level has got 10 characteristic of Nibbana. You know, in this space, there is nothing for you to steal. There is not, no one to kill. So there is this Nibbana also. There is no one over there. And there is nothing to steal. So because of that one, some people, when you go into this level of concentration, they feel like staying there. But if you see this one, determination for truth, what is this determination for truth means, tomorrow we will discuss in greater detail. In a nutshell, that you understand that everything in the world is subject to falsity. And is not, you know, it is not lasting. The Nibbana is the only thing that is lasting. And having understood that one, then Even if you are in the space is infinite level, then it is also not lasting. You might live 20,000 great eons, but after that one you will be dying and will be born, you know, in hell, animal realm, or wherever it is. So having understood that one, then he focuses his mind to the Nibbana, and then he is giving up those, you know, pleasure and the beauty perceptions. So when you come over here, then you are sort of protecting the truth that you have seen. It does not mean that it is that you are trying to protect something outside like a chicken egg. Just to clarify that one, let us take example. Let us say in a mountain slope, let us say there are these two persons. One is sort of weaker person and the other one is strong person. So the strong person is climbing the mountain slope. And then when he reached the top of the mountain, he can see on the other side, there is this beautiful, you know, flat land, and then water is flowing and so on. So then this person is climbing down and then tell his friend, you know, when you reach the top of mountain, beyond that one, you can see these flat lands, you know, green pastures and so on. So the other person is saying, no, no, there is no such a thing. No, nobody has told me before. So would the person actually saw this one by climbing the mountain? Would sort of agree with him, because he understands this person could not climb the mountain. That's why he is saying, what is this climbing mountain means? If you come over here, he who is killing abandoned evil things, then you become a noble person. But if you manage to eliminate these elements, you know, successfully. And so what he actually told the other person is that there is such a meditation. And then if you do that one, then you can become a noble person. So the other person does not believe. So would you throw out whatever understanding you got? No, you keep it, because it's internal within you. So you are protecting the truth over here, and you can see there is something that we are giving up over here, because we are touching it again, determination for relinquishment. Now we are trying to go into the, with the exhaustion of lust, hate and delusion, he attains complete extinction. For that one, there is a sentence written over here, another's utterance, and the wise attention in oneself, and the path are the cause and the condition. The path is the Eightfold Path, which you study yesterday, is the cause and the condition. And the another's utterance, well, from whom we hear this one? We heard from the Buddha, with the exhaustion of lust and hate and delusion, one can completely eradicate this one. So that is the complete extension. And he says, wise attention in oneself. What is wise attention in oneself? It is this mind and the idea. It's the Dhamma Dhatu and the mind. Why are we talking about the mind and the ideas over here? Why we don't talk about form and sound and so on? Because we have already done that one. Where? When we talk about the determination for wisdom, we say experiment outside, that is the element of extension, then element of experiment inside, also element of extension. If the outside one is not mine, the internal one is also not mine. So you cleanse your mind. So whatever thing you can see from your eye, hear from your ear, all those things has been got rid of. Now what remains? What remains is your mind, as well as the idea that these things are not mine. So that is what is called wise attention in oneself. So the Petakopadesa says the non-eradication for your of desire for the formless sphere attainment, and that one is this your tendencies, latent tendencies, anusaya. So, and it is befitting to tell you a story about a wet towel in this instance. Let us say you have a wet towel in your house. How do you dry it? So you first squeeze it, and then there's a bit of moisture left in that one. Then you put it to the cloth line. When you put to the cloth line, is it getting dry? Well, sometimes it doesn't, isn't it? Because you got to have the sun. And sometimes there is the sun rays are there, but still it is not getting dry, because if, let us say, it is rainy, so then it doesn't get dry. Sometimes there is no, there are sun rays, no rain, but still it is not getting dried, because you know, time to time you use the hose and then wet it. Using hose and wetting means that you know, that because of the craving, you are, you know, making it wet. But if you are not doing that one, then the wet towel become dry. So the, you know, how do we dry this one? So we first squeeze it, saying the element of extension is not mine, element of cohesion is not mine, element of heat is not mine, element of motion is not mine. When you do that one, then just moisture is left in the towel. So that is your tendencies, the latent tendencies. So now what you are actually giving up, this one, if you are not wetting with the craving, then you can see you are giving up these latent tendencies. Anusaya is the Pali word. So the, so you can reach this one. This same meditation we are actually using. Remember, we were looking at yesterday that the mental standpoints, adherences, and also the tendencies in the Halitakani Sutta. So that is actually what is called Sabbaloke Anabhirata Sanya in Pali. That is this contemplation of distaste for the whole world. It has got three things: mental standpoints, adherences, and tendencies. So the mental standpoints means these places, you know, the flood of sensual desire, flood of existence, flood of views, flood of ignorance. These become the place for the your mind to stand. So if, when you are using this determination for truth and determination for relinquishment, determination for wisdom and determination for calm, then you can get rid of your mind. You know, the mental standpoints can be removed. So, you know what the front of sensual desire is saying? It is saying that, let us say someone is very sick and then very weak person. And then someone is coming with, you know, some sort of a food made from honey and so on, and then say, you eat this one, and then you become fat, and you know, the, your whole weakness will be gone. But what is the tendent determination for truth is telling? Whatever thing there in the world is subject to falsity. What is lasting is only the Nibbana. So from the honey, you can't, you know, sort of cure you. You will die. So therefore, the, you can remove the mental standpoints that is standing on this flood of sensual desire. And if you have the determination for relinquishment, then you can get rid of the flood of existence. To explain this one, I use an example from Sri Lanka. You know, in Sri Lanka, in the rural area, a grandma, sort of their Sri Lankan New Year is there in April, and that time the grandma in those rural area is sort of getting, you know, some gifts from their children, sons and so on. So they are coming home and then offering a beetle leaves, and then she would be touching the head and saying, "Oh, good son," and so on. Then that person is giving a towel. Let us say the towel was the one offered. And then the daughter-in-law is coming, and the daughter is coming, and they are offering a towel. So then this new year has passed, and children have gone to their houses, and then this grandma got a problem now, because the cupboard that she is actually using for putting clothes, now it is filled up with these towels. So this grandma is getting a sort of a fortunate thing. One day, let us say a gardener is coming to the garden to do this gardening work, and now she is actually going to pay the gardener, and then she finds this person is washing his face from a tap, and then water, and then using his sarong, and then he is actually making it dry. So she's asking, "Don't you have a towel?" "No, I don't have a towel." So now it's really good for grandma to get rid of towel as well. So she is actually taking a towel and offering to that man. So that man is becoming so happy and saying, "So thank you very much." Now grandma is coming inside the house with a happy mind. She has done meritorious deed over there. Now grandma is into this particular thing that next month also the person is coming, a gardener is coming, and then you are asking, "Do you have a towel?" And then and she is offering a towel, and she become happy. Now let us say, now after a little later on, that grandma get this supply and demand problem, because the next year comes that children are talking to each other, then asking, what are we going to give the grandma this year?" And then one is saying, "Don't give towels. I have seen them full of towels in the cupboard." So they do not know what grandma was doing. So now they are not giving towels. So this grandma is intelligent, and grandma is saying to their sons and daughters, "Don't bring towels anymore. I have given the happiness by receiving the towels. I have also given up the happiness by giving up towels as well. The giving by receiving the towel means the forms be attainment. And then the giving up the towels means you get rid of the form, then you go to the formless sphere, like a space is infinite level of attainment. So I have given my attachment to both. So that means the flood of existence for the form sphere or the formless sphere is also got rid of. And if you have the determination for wisdom, then the flood of views, you can get rid of. What is inside the flood of views? That the leg is mine, husband is mine, wife is mine, house is mine, mine scenario. But if you have the determination for wisdom, are we saying it? We are saying excrement outside is the element of extension, and it is not mine. Excrement inside also the element of extension. If the outside one is not mine, then inside one is not mine. So you cleanse your mind from those four elements. So now you are not saying that leg is mine, husband is mine. And if you have the determination for calm, then the flood of ignorance can be got rid of. So then you can see the mental standpoints are gone. And then the next one is the adherences. Remember, we were discussing yesterday that we cling to this lying, harsh speech and so on. But are we lying now? How do I lie if I take leg as mine is lying? For the determination of wisdom, we are saying excrement. You cleanse your mind from the elements. So therefore, they are not mine. So then the adherences part is done as well. And over here, remember that wet towel example? So you got rid of the tendency. Then you come to the, with the exhaustion of lust, hate and delusion, he attained complete extinction. So that is the meditation. So, and then when you come to that one, then you come to the determination for calm. So what is the determination for calm? So here, let us say that, if there is a big rock, when the air is flowing from various directions, does it shake? It doesn't. Likewise, that your mind is not shaking because of the lust, hate, or delusion. Or else think that you are inside the fortress, and then three enemies are trying to creep into the fortress. So there are three guards, and they are not letting anyone come in. So who are they coming? That is the lust, hate, and delusion. So if they are not coming in, those enemies are not coming in, then there is calmness inside the fortress. Otherwise, if they come in, the soldiers has to fight with them. Even the dog in your house is so calm until another dog is coming to the door. So there is determination for calm. Okay, so how do we do the meditation? You need to enter this box. How do we enter this box? By recalling the meritorious deeds that you have done. You have done charity work and have given food to Buddhist monks, and you might have constructed temples or donated money to the temple, or you might have, rescued a cow from being slaughtered. So whatever meritorious deeds that you have done, recall to your mind. Then you are entering this particular box. Now you are going to go into the no risk is stored for one restraint. For that one, then you recall that determination relinquishment. That is, that day I saved the cow by paying $1,000. I am a person who can give up $1,000. Those divine beings in the divine world, they are there because of their generosity. I also have such a quality. I can also give up. I could give up $1,000. That day I construct a temple by, paying $6,000. I am a person who can give up $6,000. So when you recall your ability to give up, then the rapture is flowing from your head. And because of this one, then some people are for the half an hour, whole half an hour of the meditation, they are from the first one to second one. Why? Because they remember I helped that person as well. So the rapture is flowing, and then you remember I helped the other person as well. So the keep on flowing the rapture, then you are happy, and so you are here. I wouldn't say that person is a clever person, because you become clever when you go into the third one. Otherwise, you are not skilled. That person has got a sort of a skill as well. That person has the ability to give up something. So when you come over here, don't forget this part, determination for wisdom. So what is it? The excrement outside is the element of extension. And that one, outside one, is not mine. You don't regard excrement outside as yours. So the excrement inside your body is also the element of extension. So in the same way, the outside one is not mine, the inside one is also not mine. Similarly, the hair of the body, nails, teeth, all those things, whatever hard in the body, you cleanse your mind as the element of extension, and it is not mine. So internal as well as external in the whole universe. And the outside, the urine, is the element of cohesion. It has a liquid nature. So the excrement inside also the element of cohesion. The outside one is not mine, inside one is also not mine. So you cleanse your mind from the element of cohesion. And then this air in your body moving upward, going from the bottom. So that is the element of motion. So you cleanse your mind from the element of motion, internal as well as external. And then you have the heat. Remember that bin example. That is the element of heat external. It is not mine. That element of heat inside is also the element of heat. So you cleanse your mind from the element of heat, internal as well as external. So when you do that one, then you are a skilled person. So by that time, there is nothing remained over here. Then your mind become pure and right. Some people would see sort of a black space, that is the fifth jhana. Some people would see light. Some people have the liberation as well. I said there is no limit over here. So remember that we are using this gatha for the contemplation of impermanence in all formations. And this atiyati, that is this troubled, because of the risk, you know, this, because of the restraint, you are not getting affected by the trouble by, you know, spinning 8 rounds. Harayati, that means you are ashamed of this lying part, but you are not doing that one because of the determination for wisdom. And then yuguchati, that means that disgusted, or you loathes. This line is constructed from the perception of beauty and perception of pleasure. So you are giving up those things. And so when you come over here, some people stay at that particular point because you see light, you know, that, oh, maybe you see the space is infinite, you really feel like staying. But if you remember this one, determination for truth, that nothing is lasting. Only the Nibbana is the only thing lasting. So therefore, you are giving up this beauty and so on. Then you come over here. And then you can see that you are giving up the tendencies. And then you are coming to this place with the exhaustion of lust, hate and delusion. He attained complete extinction. So if you come over here, what that discourse is saying, you become an arahant. So some people, when they are doing the meditation, they for the first half an hour, they are actually in first cage, first box to the second one. Some people go many times over here. It does not mean that he became an arahant, but in the first time he was eliminating something, the second time eliminating further something and so on. So you may be in between. But when you are doing this meditation, and some people do wrong things in the sense that one person told me that I didn't recall to my mind anything giving up the donations or anything. I just look at this part only, determination for wisdom. That person did not achieve anything. Why? Because he become pandit, isn't it? Here, you know, you are trying to say this excrement is not mine. But for certain people, excrement outside, they are thinking, oh, I can use that one for fertilizer, for my garden. So they can't even give up excrement. So what is the sort of a witness within you that you can give up, you know, the excrement or something? It is your ability to give up something. That there must be some sort of a thing that you have given up. And that is that your donations and things, you know, meritorious deeds that you have done. You see, our mind is a sort of a funny thing. If you train that one to go in this sensual thought, illy thought and harming thought, then it is going in that direction. But when you are trained, when you train your mind to the thought of renunciation, thought of non-harming, thought of non-malevolence, and it is bending towards that one. That's how the stream of consciousness is. It doesn't matter when you are bending it. And that is how you train it. So you've got to have something, you know, witness within you. Then I am a person who can give up, you know, $6,000. So if I can give up $6,000, then why can't I can give up this experiment? So that is what it is. So you need to uplift your mind so that your mind is willing to accept that this, you know, hair of the body, all those things are not mine. Otherwise, you can't do that. So start with the experiment part and then you apply that onto the hair of the body and so on. So that is the meditation. So let us take 20 minutes or so for you to have a discussion. And then we will do the meditation.